The other Sunday, a very important subject. What was it? Christ consciousness. And I said it's a very important subject, because every Christian ought to be Christ conscious. Incidentally, not every Christian is Christ conscious. In fact, most Christians are not Christ conscious. Now, I'm not talking about the Christ consciousness that many people remind us of at Christmas time, when they say, this is Christmas time and everyone should be Christ conscious. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not Christ consciousness. That's Christmas consciousness. Hallelujah. But we are dealing with Christ consciousness, which is a function of your spirit. It's a function of the human spirit. It's a function of your soul. To live the victorious Christian life, you must be Christ conscious. This subject is so important because it helps us define authentic Christianity. It helps us understand what Christianity really is. It's not a religion. For most people in the world, Christianity is a nice religion started by the man named Jesus. But Christianity is not a religion. It is the life of God in a human being. Amen. Oh, this is beautiful. Just to think of it. Christ consciousness. The alertness, the awareness of my soul as it settles on Christ and His redeeming love, His redeeming work. And the result of His redemptive work. And I am the result. Let me explain the very term, the very word redeem means to save by paying a price, to buy back, to deliver, as it were, by paying a ransom. That's what it is to be redeemed. But the Christian was not redeemed. Now many think they were, but they weren't. Hello? Okay, Jesus died for us. Yes, I know. Jesus paid the price of His own blood for us to be saved. Yes. But let me show you who the Christian is, so you can understand. Hello? Oh, dear Lord Jesus. I hope I can get this thing across to you so you can really, really catch it. Okay. Let me take two. All right. I got two Dickens here. You and you, come. No, let him come. Both of you, come. Okay, so they're almost the same size, right? So this will help me. Now, you don't have to look at each other now anyway. All right, come. Now, let's...
Hi.
Let's assume... Okay, I know that he's light-skinned and he's dark-skinned, so let me take it the other way. Before you're going to say, so why did he pick the dark one for that particular example? All right, now let's assume... Jesus wants, now, Jesus came into this world to save sinners, alright? And here is the man that Jesus seeks to save. He is the unredeemed man. He is the sinner needing salvation, alright? So, Jesus has come. The man is a sinner. Jesus dies in his place on the cross to save this man. Now Jesus is dead and is buried. Because he died on the cross in this man's place, as far as God is concerned, this man has died on the cross because he died in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus paid for his sins. He paid the penalty. Suffered the penalty of this man's sins. Therefore, this man has suffered for his sins in Jesus Christ. He has paid for his sins in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus took his place. It is called the doctrine of substitution. Do you understand? So, Jesus has bought this man's salvation. So Jesus is dead. He's in the grave. So this man is free. So he's free. Can you see it? So he has been redeemed. You see that? He has been redeemed from the hands of Satan. Jesus is in the grave. The man is free. He's redeemed. Jesus is in the grave now. He goes to hell. The Bible tells us he descended into hell. For what? He was taken as a prisoner. He's the sinner. He's in place of the sinner, even though he committed no sin. But he must go to the regions of the damned. Where this man was supposed to go, Jesus must now go. So he went to hell as a prisoner, as the damned. But in hell, he took over. You see that? Because this man's sin has been atoned for, has been paid for. God accepts it. The man is free. But Satan, who's the rebel holder of authority, must now face Jesus in a combat. So Jesus is in hell. The Bible says he threw off from himself principalities and powers, and made public spectacle of them. He defeated them, Satan and the cohorts of hell, all the demons in hell. Somebody has said, and I believe, that maybe that was one time in the history of the world that nobody was demon possessed, because Satan needed all the reinforcement he could get. And so all the demons were in hell grappling with Jesus. But he put them off of himself and rendered them helpless. The Bible says he defeated Satan and took the keys of hell and of death. Well, the third day, Jesus came back to life in the world. He resurrected. Now, at the resurrection of Jesus, the Bible says, God declared, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Meaning, Jesus was born again by the resurrection from the dead. He came from the regions of the damned. Came alive. Nobody ever came from there free. Jesus was the first begotten of the dead. He came back from there. Alive. Free. Free of satanic bondage. He came. Now, what happens to this man? Jesus says, now before this time, before Jesus says anything to him, he goes to heaven from the garden, according to the Bible. Jesus ascended from the garden where Mary came to look for him. You remember? He ascended to heaven to present his blood as the sacrifice for our sins. Now, he is the high priest of our confession. His blood is accepted. He has become the high priest. So he goes back to the world and arrives in Galilee and shows himself to his disciples. And he says to them, "All hail." And they are happy to see him. Then he says to them, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Now, anybody who believes in me has eternal life." Guess what? So he is now the author of life. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto him. Now, this man was redeemed so he could have the right to partake of this eternal life that has now been made available. If he will believe now, because he has been redeemed, he can receive eternal life. And he says, "I believe." Forthwith, he is born again. He is no longer the redeemed. He has become a new creation. Can you see it now? He was redeemed by the death of Jesus. But he was born again by the resurrection of Jesus. Can you see it? Now, just for the records, who was redeemed? Not the Christians. The whole world. The Bible says he died for everybody. So when you say the redeemed, who has been redeemed? The whole world. So anybody in the world who believes in Jesus, that he died for him and was buried for him and now has come back to life for him, receives eternal life. So the work didn't stop at redemption. It was consummated at the new birth. Come on, somebody. Now, the misunderstanding of that simple fact is what has made thousands and thousands of Christians to walk at a lower level than real Christianity. They don't know who they are. Thank you. God bless you. Are you still there? Hold on. I'm not through with you yet. Now, you have the new man, okay, born again. So what is he going to do? What is God's dream? What is God's purpose? What is his dream? What is God's plan? What does God see? You see, our aim in life, our vision in life, should be to fulfill God's dream, to become what God planned for us to be, what He wanted us to be all the time. It is possible, but we've got to chart our course through the Word. Hallelujah. God's dream is to make every Christian, like the one we had just now, born again, come to the place of manhood. Not to just be born again and be a child, but to become a full-grown man in the things of the Spirit. You know, Paul said something in Galatians, the 4th chapter. He said, when I was a child, the motions, he says, I was in bondage to the elements of the world as a child. I was in bondage to the elements of the world. That tells us something, that we are not supposed to be in bondage to the elements of the world. But spiritual children are in bondage to the elements of the world. They are controlled by the forces of nature, over which they believe they have no power. But look at Jesus. He's in the boat. Water is coming into the boat. His disciples are with him. And Jesus is sleeping at the rear. And then they rush to him because they feel they're going to drown. These were fishermen. They could swim. But they were too deep in the sea now to expect to swim out. And the waves were too high. The roaring waves, the raging waves were coming. It was windy. It was terrible, frightening. They cried out for their lives. And woke Jesus up and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Ah, what manner of man is this? Jesus woke up before ever talking to the winds and the waves. He said, where is your faith? Why are you afraid? Look at it. He was telling them indirectly. You could have done something about it. He says, where is your faith? Why are you afraid? Where is your faith? In other words, why didn't you do something about it? Where is your faith? Then he turned to the waves. Peace! He said, calm down. Hush. The high waves just... He put them to sleep. The disciples looked at one another and said, what manner of man is this? The winds and the sea obey him. Hallelujah. Thank you. Growing up in Christ. So you can handle the elements of the world rather than being subject to the elements of the world. Growing in the things of God. Hallelujah. We're talking Christ consciousness. Who is Christ? Who is he? He's the Messiah, right? The Messiah, the anointed one. The one who's been anointed by the Spirit of God with the glory of God, with the presence of God, with the power of God. Who is the Christian? Somebody says, Christians are the followers of Jesus Christ. Wrong. Are you shocked? Not the followers of Jesus Christ. No. Christians have the nature of Christ. They have his nature. They're not mere followers. They have his nature. Christians are they have been transfused with the nature of God. They've been transformed. Are you still there? Transmuted into the very image of Christ. I've got something to show you. Maybe I should show it to you now. Christ consciousness, right? Are you still there? Turn to 1 Corinthians. Let me show you something from the Word. I love my Bible. Do you? If you don't have a Bible here, I feel sorry for you. Just feel sorry for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read to you from verse 45. Oh, glory to God. Are you there? Okay. From verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, did you notice? The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. He's talking about Jesus. He calls him the last Adam. Was made a quickening spirit. The first Adam was made a living soul. You remember in the book of Genesis, the Bible says, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. That's what he's talking about. He gave him life. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, was made a life-giving. Look at the difference. One was receiving. The other one was giving. Adam received life from God. Jesus. Jesus, the Bible says, was made what? A life-giving spirit. No wonder, says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Are you still there? All right. I read verse 45 again. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. Okay? You get it? It says, the natural was what we saw first. Okay? And after the natural, we saw the spiritual. So the natural Adam came, and then the spiritual Adam came. That's what he's talking about. All right. 47. The first man is of the earth. And the word is italicized, meaning that it wasn't in the original manuscript. So it could be, the first man was of the earth. Earthy. He was earthy. And it says, the second man is the Lord from heaven. So he's called the last Adam or the second Adam. Okay, so we've seen those two terms used now. The first man is of the earth or was of the earth. Earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, as was the Ethi. Let me read what you got in the King James for a reason. Because of something I want to show you. That's very important. As is the Ethi, such are they also that are Ethi. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Are you getting it? He's saying there are two kinds of people. You got the earthy and the heavenly. Those who were born from Adam. Have you heard people say, I don't know that man from Adam? That means they are tracing their lineage from the first Adam. But when you're born again, you don't have a lineage from the first Adam. Your lineage is from the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Listen, this is so important. You've got to understand it. It's a fact of life. This is reality. This is truth. Because when you're born again, see, when you're born again, you're not just a religious person. You're not someone who has joined a church, who has joined a good religion. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is the supplanting of the human life by the divine nature, by the Christ life. A total replacement of the life with which you were born, of your mother and your father, by the Christ life. It totally replaces what you had. So you're not what you used to be. On the outside you look the same. Yes, but on the inside, which is your real nature, you're different. That's what the Bible shows us. Now let me read more to you. Are you there? He says, look at verse 48 again. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. There are people who are earthy. He says they are of this world. All they know is of this world. That's their life. That's who they are. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Praise God. Now, verse 49. Here's the big thing. And as we have borne the image, mark the word image. I'll come back to that. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Stop. It seems to suggest that as we have borne the image of the first Adam, all right, we shall also bear the image of the second Adam. So when is that going to be? Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. So it's nothing about now. All right? So they talk about the past and then the future. And that's how most people live their lives. They talk about the past, regret the past, and then they look at the future. No life for today. But you see, in reality, that's not what you have in that scripture. It was thrown in because I studied the subject and I found out most of the older manuscripts actually put it this way. I'll read it to you first from the Amplified so you can get it. Even the Masoretic text shows this. Let me read to you. Now those, it's 49. And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, Adam, he says, so shall we, okay? And then puts a mark here to tell us that there's something in the margin. And when you go and study it, he'll tell you that this is found in most of the other older manuscripts. It says, let us also bear the image of the man from heaven. I don't know whether you got it. Let me read one of the such translations that have it exactly that way. Hallelujah. I read from the New English Translation. And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, let us also bear the image of the man of heaven. He didn't say we shall, he says let us. That means do it. I told you, Praise God. I told you to mark one word. What was it?
Image.
Image. Okay. In that verse 49, he says, and as we have borne the image, the word image is translated from the Greek word icon, from where we get the English word icon. Now, verse 49 therefore says, for us to what? Bear the icon of the heavenly man. That means to wear the representation of the man of heaven. That's a big suggestion. He says, as we have borne the image of the first Adam, let us bear the image of the second Adam, the man from heaven. He says, we are his icon. Come here. Tell somebody, come here.
Come here.
Here to where? Say it again. Say, come here.
Come here.
Say, come with me.
Come with me.
Come with me.
Come with me.
Come and dine.
Come and dine.
Did you read what Jesus said to his disciples? Come and dine. What happened there? He said, come and dine. They caught fish. I love Jesus. This was after his resurrection. He was looking for his disciples and they were out there fishing. So Jesus came and stood at the shore and said, hi, children, what are you doing? They said, we're fishing. They didn't recognize him. But John noticed when Jesus said, do you have any fish? Have you caught anything? No. We've been working all night. He said, all right, cast your net to that other side and you shall find. And then, whoosh, lots of fishes. John said, it is the Lord. Then Peter, the Bible says, Peter was partly, he was almost nude because he was inside the water. He got his clothes quickly together and ran out. And Jesus said, come with some of the fishes that you caught. Let's eat. So they took some. They actually left everything. And they took some and hurried to meet Jesus. When they got to Jesus, he was already frying some fish. Guess what he did? He said, add some of the ones you caught. You know why? He wanted them to check whether there would be any difference. This one came from his word. And the one they brought was from the water. Let me tell you something. I read one of the Jewish stories about Jesus. Let me tell you the story. Beautiful story. And that story was this. He was... this was before he fully started his ministry and before actually chose his disciples. And there was one of those guys who became his disciple. He was bitten of a serpent. The young man was bitten of a serpent, a terrible serpent, and he was dying. So they rushed him away from the place. He actually put his hand in a nest, a bird's nest, and trying to catch maybe the little ones or something like that, not knowing that a serpent had come in there, cleared out the eggs, and was now living inside. So when the boy put his hand in the nest, the serpent struck and bit him, and he was dying. So they rushed him. As they were rushing him away, Jesus was with some other people having some discussions with some other people. And those who were with Jesus noticed they were carrying this young man. And they said, what happened? And they told him. He said, bring him to the master. They said, no, we have to hurry. He's dying. He said, bring him here. So in fact, they forcibly took the guy and brought him to Jesus. Then Jesus said, what happened? They said, he's asking questions. Please take him, hurry. Hurry, we've got to go. The guy's dying. So Jesus said, hold on. What happened? A serpent bit him. And so Jesus said, now, this is a true story. Now, Jesus said, all right, where's the serpent? Hold on. They said, over there, someplace over there. So he said, let's go. So they followed Jesus. Together with the boy that was dying. And they went back to the place. And they showed him the nest where the boy put his hand and was bitten of that serpent. Then Jesus said, oh, you put your hand here. He said, yes. Then he said, he called the serpent. He said, where are you? Come here. Guess what? The serpent came out and showed itself. Then Jesus said to the serpent, suck back all the poison that you put in this boy's hand. The serpent climbed the boy's body, came to the hand, and put its mouth there and sucked back all the poison. And then went away and actually died. And then Jesus touched the young man and said, you are free. That young man became one of his disciples. Now, here was so much in there. He could have healed the boy by a single word. But I guess he wanted to show them a lot of stuff. He called a serpent out from wherever he was, and the serpent came. He said to the serpent, suck back all the poison you put in there. This is authority. This is authority. I remember one time, I was praying a long time ago. I knew that ant. There's a certain kind of ant that will sting you, and you'd feel, it will swell up, and then you have pain the rest of the day, if not 2 or 3 days. So I was bitten of that ant while I was praying. And I felt it, and I turned, and it was this ant. I said, oh, no longer possible. And I continued what I was doing. No pain. Everything was normal. No pain. Then I thought again, I was just doing what I was doing. I looked at it. I said, but it's here. The mark is here. I said, isn't it wonderful? I wasn't trying to resist pain. It just wasn't there. Because whatever it injected, which used to cause that terrible pain, whatever it injected couldn't work anymore. See, you come to a point in your life where you understand, I got the life of God in me. Are you still there? Yeah. Christ consciousness. There may be little things, but you have the nature of God in your spirit. You've lost your fears. Glory to God. Remember what Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they shall drink any deadly thing. It doesn't matter how they drink the deadly thing. Whether their mouth or through their skin or through their veins. It doesn't matter. If they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall have no power over them. That's what Jesus said. So we've passed that level of being poisoned. See that? We have another nature. We have another nature. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, you know, because I was exposed to mosquitoes. That's why I got this malaria. No, no. That's in the past. That's in the past. There's a new breed. There's a new kind. A new species. Do you understand? A new kind of man. Superior to Satan. Let's read the scripture where we were and finish it so it can bring us in properly. You know why I'm asking you that question. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Yeah. Read verse 50 for me. Go on. Amen. We shall what? We shall all be changed. He says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment. Go on. No. Read verse 52 carefully. It says, in a moment, verse 52. I should read from 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Such speed, it says, so fast. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Shall be raised incorruptible. Now mark that word, incorruptible. The word is aphthatos. 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 Incorruptible. It means not subject to wear, not subject to tear. Not subject to decay or depravity. incorruptible. And we shall, he says, be changed. Now, this change, I also want you to mark it. Changed. The word he uses here is alasso. Alasso, A-L-L-A-S-S-O. Alasso. It means a change of type, a change of kind. Now, there's a reason I want you to mark that. You'll see it in a moment. For this corruptible, verse 53, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wonderful. 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 I want you to look at, here he says, in a moment we shall be changed. Okay? In the twinkling of an eye. He says, we shall be changed. And this corruptible shall put on incorruption. And this mortal shall put on immortality. So do we wait until that moment for that alasso, as it were, that change of type? Because it says there is a terrestrial body and there is a celestial body. And we have put on a terrestrial body. This body is a terrestrial body. This body cannot go to heaven. It must be changed. There must be an alasso. Do you understand? Before it is taken to heaven, there has to be a change. Because it is a terrestrial body. It is supposed to be here. It functions in the earth. You get it? But we have a life that is greater than this body. So we have put on this body. And it says, since our life is not limited to this world, we are going to have to put on a celestial body when Jesus comes at the last trump. He says, for the trumpet will sound and the dead shall be raised, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. But it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be alasso. You get it? I'm putting it into you now so you will not forget it. Alasso, a change of type. A change of kind. Like you take off the suit and you put on another suit. You get it? But while we are in waiting for that alasso to take place, we must function in the earth in a position of advantage. God didn't make the human body to be subject to sickness and disease and depravity. He didn't subject the human body to this corruption. That came because of the fall in the Garden of Eden. Praise God. You still there? All right, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Dun, 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 dun. I love the word. I love the word. From verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. That's the word again. But this time he doesn't use the word alasso. Hold on, let's read. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He says, we are changed. as we behold the glory of God in a mirror. That means as we look at the glory of God in the Word, because the Word of God is the mirror of God. As we look, he says, we are changed. But not a lasso. We don't put away the body we got. But now, no, the word there is metamorpho. It's a transfiguration. Hallelujah. Same thing, but transformed. Same thing, but glorified. A change in state. He says, as we look, we are changed. As we look, we are changed. Meaning that what God said from the beginning about the growth of the Christian is working. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11, he says he gave some apostles and some prophets, some pastors, teachers, all right? Evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. The perfecting of the saints. That means equip them. Katatismos. Equipping them. Furnishing them. Then it says, perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. He says he brings us into a knowledge of the Son of God. The way we'll know Jesus as we grow will be different from the way other people know Jesus. They know him as a religious leader, but we know him with revelation. The Christ who has authority over the whole world is the Christ that my soul recognizes. The Christ who is fearless. The Christ who has authority over the nations. The Christ who has dominated the world. Who says to me, cheer up, I have overcome the world. That's the Christ my spirit knows. That's the Christ that I've come to have epignosis of. So morning, noon, or night, I know no fear. He's the one that says, fear not. I am the first and the last. Hallelujah. Fear not. I'm the first and the last. The epignosis of the Son of God. You have come to have a revelation that has changed your life. Changed your life. Now you're bold. Now you're confident. Now you know tomorrow belongs to you. Why? He says, thou wilt perfect that which concerneth me. He has looked into your tomorrows and he says to you, fear not. I've taken care of things. Hallelujah. You see that? That's the Christ you have come to know. The epignosis of him. It says the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. Full grown man. He says he wants you to come to the full grown level. Full grown. Teleos. Unto a perfect man. Then it says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ay, 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 ay. Hey! He says, when you measure the vessel Christ, the personality of Christ, he says, everything that fills it. That's why he says, the fullness, pleroma, that is fullness, a repletion, do you understand? A supply, a completeness in terms of quantity. Are you getting it? That's what he's talking about. Everything that's required, everything that makes him Christ. He says, that has been brought into your life. Dear Jesus, this is no religion. Oh boy. What a consciousness. No wonder Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He said, thanks be unto God who giveth us, giveth, a continual giving, giveth us the victory in Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness, what a life. He said, my sufficiency. Hallelujah. Christ has become my sufficiency. That means he has become my ability. I no longer say, I can't do, I am not able. He has become my ability. Do you understand? No wonder he says that he might be filled with the fullness of Christ. Filled with the pleroma of Christ. Filled with his fullness. With everything that he's got. Can you see why you ought to live a life of confidence? No longer should you walk like this. Chin up, square your shoulders, chest out. You are somebody. Hallelujah. You're somebody. Are you hearing me? No, you're not a failure. John said, oh, you remember John? He said, who is he that overcometh the world? I'm talking Christ consciousness. That's what John said. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. He says, this is the victory that overcometh the world. He says, even our faith. He says, our faith is the victory. Our faith expressed in our confessions. Are you hearing me? In our homologia. Our faith overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. As I declare that the life of God is in me. Oh, I'm cutting the cancer down. Are you hearing me? I'm destroying the diabetes. As I declare that his sufficiency has become my sufficiency. Every weakness is destroyed. Are you hearing me? Every lack of ability is despair. He has become my sufficiency. That means I'm sufficient for all these things. Paul said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. What a life. James Danson, he said, count it all joy when you go through diverse tests. Count it all joy. Oh! Hallelujah! Count it all joy. In chapter 4, verse 7 of his writings, he said, resist the devil. In other words, stand against him. He says, resist the devil. He can't continue to push against you. He says, when you resist the devil, he will flee. Hallelujah. Man, oh my. Are you still there? Peter said, thanks be unto God, we are partakers of the divine nature. When we speak, it comes to pass. Are you still there? Oh, where the word of a king is, there's power. Hallelujah. You're going to exercise your God-given power, your God-given ability. You can talk to your body. You can talk to your finances. You can talk to your marriage. You can talk to your family. When you speak the word, God will cause it to come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.